Ladies and gentlemen, my name is
Scott.
Hey, yo.
Is that his younger brother? It's gonna be
Jeff.
The cream will rise to the top. Oh, yeah.
And you're listening to
all of the great action figures from our good friends at Hasbro.
The Fully Posable.
Have your own WrestleMania with all your favorite figures.
Wrestling figure.
He sold separately from LJN.
Podcast.
And we are the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling.
Hey, welcome to episode 68. You know what the next one is, Scott.
Yes, I do, but we are family podcast. We'll keep it
family podcast. We've got people listening. Of the Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast. My name is Jeff Sings. Alongside next to me is my real brother, not storyline brother, Scott. Scott, say hello.
Hello.
Scott, we had an eventful weekend.
Yes, an eventful and tiring, but lots of fun weekend.
Yes, I was actually at work trying to stay awake, but I don't know how well that happened.
Yeah, you're like, I slept most of the day, got paid, you know.
Yep.
The American dream.
Yep. I would raise my desk because I have one of those standing desks. So I would make sure I would hide my monitors, or actually hide my face behind the monitor so Sean couldn't see me sleeping.
There you go. You know, they make this thing called 5-Hour Energy. They're not a sponsor yet, but I hear that works.
Yeah, 5-Hour Energy, if you want to sponsor, we are open.
Absolutely. Pizza rolls didn't come through, but 5-Hour Energy, we're looking at you.
Yep. Best way you can support the show is head on over to whatamaneuver.net. Pick up one of those Fully Posable Goes Retro t-shirts. Dude, it was kind of cool meeting everyone, recognizing the Fully Posable t-shirt this past week. We met a listener at the Finn Balor signing. His name is Raul. It was great meeting Raul.
Yeah, that was crazy. We kind of walked out right after getting signatures, and so we're trading off paint pens and kind of admiring the signatures, and Raul just came up and introduced himself and shook our hands and said he was a fan of the show, and I mean, talk about random and awesome all at the same time. That was great meeting him. Thanks for coming out, Raul, and thanks for introducing yourself. We love meeting the listeners.
Yeah, it was cool, dude. There was a gentleman sitting behind us at the pay-per-view, and he taps me on the shoulder. And he goes, hey, man, is this you? And he pulls up our Twitter page.
Oh, nice.
I'm like, yeah. He goes, oh, I follow you guys. I was like, what? He goes, yeah, I follow you guys. So I was like, oh, dude, you know, hella cool and stuff. It was just
random. You give him a sticker?
I did.
Nice. I had mine on me, too, but I didn't hand any out. I wasn't trying to be selfish. Nobody brought up the podcast.
Oh, dude. You see somebody walking around with a figure, hand them that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. I didn't see any. No figures anyway, but did you notice at the concession stand it looked like the Roman Reigns figure was $5?
The Roman Reigns, which figure?
His basic.
No, I didn't see that.
I might be mistaken. I mean, it could be more, but they had him up on the peg, and I went to three different merch stands, and they had a little sign that said $5 on it, and right underneath it was the Roman Reigns basic. One of, I don't know which one it was, but it looked like they were selling the Roman Reigns basics for $5. At a pay-per-view.
That's how much the people there would have paid for it.
Well, I don't know if you had to pay them or they gave you $5 for taking it off their hands. I wasn't sure how that was working. I didn't make it up to the front of the line to ask because those lines were not moving at all.
Did you get the Bailey specialty event shirt?
No, we wanted to. Unfortunately, like I said, the lines weren't moving. We didn't make it there with enough time. We got there like right before Enzo and Cass came on. Like literally we were in our seats for like 2 minutes and they came out. So we wanted to see Enzo and Cass. We wanted to see Balor. I actually went down between the Enzo and Cass and Balor parts of the pre-show and stood in line and literally did not budge. Went back down during the cruiserweight match. And again, or I'm sorry, Shannon actually went down during the cruiserweight match. And again, the line did not budge. We tried. We would have missed like a third of the pay-per-view trying to get a t-shirt. So we're going to try our luck on eBay. I'm going to email WWE shop. But dude, that shirt was awesome. Especially being from the hometown. It had a shark on it. I mean, it was just awesome. So hopefully we can find it somehow, some way, because Peyton needs a new Bailey shirt.
Well, in the meantime, make sure you get Peyton that Fully Posable Goes Retro t-shirt.
Absolutely, as should all the listeners. And we have the next design decided on.
The next design has been decided upon you and I while we were waiting for Balor.
Yes, that's where we make all of our good decisions, autograph lines.
Yeah. No, our best decisions come from just hanging out in front of department stores.
Yeah, right, exactly. Or convenience stores like Jay and Silent Bob. We'll just kind of hang out. And
I was just about to say that. yes, women's tees, V-necks. shirts for infants and toddlers, hoodies, sweatshirts. Well, since it's now summertime, you don't need sweatshirts, but you can get tank tops. You can get tank tops. So make sure you pick up that Fully Posable Goes Retro tank top. Help support the show.
Yeah, you need those sweet tank top tan lines.
Those summer sweet tan lines, dude.
Yeah, it beats a farmer's tan, that's for sure. Just ask Will Clark.
You can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, at Fully Posable, Instagram, Fully Posable, WFB. You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts, FullyPosablePodcast.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts from. Please rate and review on iTunes. Those help us out also. That's another great way to help support the show. You can email us any questions, comments, wish lists, or audio clips to fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. And it was funny too. Sean came into work today and he says, I was listening to the last episode where you did the fullyposablewfp@gmail.com where you gave off three wrestlers' names. And I was like, oh, I miss those days.
Yeah. Now that's like a retro segment for us. We actually have an old school part of the show.
Yes. And again, Scott, that's fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. Scott, we did Toy Spotting together this week.
Yes, we did. We hit up the Pleasanton Walmart and, of course, struck out. They did have a Braun Strowman basic, which we both passed on. But, of course, no Taker, no Warrior in the retro Hasbros. And what did they have? A Boogeyman Elite? And really, not much else to speak of, right?
Yeah, nothing else. Somebody took the title, tag title out of the Earthquake TNF packaging.
Yes, there is a package raider floating around Dublin Pleasanton area here in California.
That ticked me off, dude.
It's horrible.
I understand people get some money off of eBay, but I mean, I know not many kids know who Earthquake is. But still, if they wanted to pick that up and just have a tag title with the big guy, you know, they can't have that now because some jerk had to go in and steal the tag title.
Yeah, you're taking it right out of their hands. You're taking money out of Walmart's pocket because they're going to have to discount that figure. The package was jacked up. It's missing an item. You're a horrible person if you do that. I'm sorry. Yes, some of them are funny and we get a good chuckle out of them, but come on, man. Enough's enough. Knock it off.
Yep. So I figure since we are recording early, I am flying out to Denver, so Scott and I had to meet up a little bit early to record the show tonight. So what do you say we go over our signings this past week, dude?
Yeah, I think that'll kind of be our new segment as well. We don't really have anything from Mattel. FTC had a light week as well. So yeah, let's talk about those signings.
You want to start off on Saturday?
Yeah, let's go with Saturday.
So Balor was signing at 5 p.m. at some place in San Jose called Fallas.
You pronounce it however you want.
I'm going to say Fallas, dude.
I'm going to say Fallas.
You and Alana got there at 1?
We actually got there at about 1:20. The crazy part is we left Tracy at 11:20 in the morning. Wanted to leave at 11. We were a little bit late. Left at 11:20 a.m. and got to San Jose at about 1:15, 1:20 p.m. It took us 2 hours to get from Tracy to San Jose. That's normally like a 50-minute to an hour drive.
Welcome to California.
Yeah, just so the people over on the West Coast and the Midwest know, and if you live in California, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Getting anywhere in the freeways here on the weekdays is especially horrible, but apparently on the weekends is just as bad. And it doesn't matter what time of day, evening, it's all bad at all hours because there's always an accident or road work or just it's constant brake lights. So yeah, 2 hours to get there. We jumped in line at about 1:15, 1:20. I would guess we were like 70th in line.
Yeah, around there.
Around there. So Finn was signing from 5 to 7 and they were giving out 200 wristbands. So we were guaranteed a spot. You guys got there maybe 10 to 15 minutes after us, maybe?
Yeah, around there.
Yeah, and so you were a few people behind us, maybe what, like 5, 6 people behind us. And then once they handed out the wristbands, it didn't matter. Everybody was guaranteed an autograph at that point. So the people in front of you just let you come up with us. So yeah, we got to sit and chat in line and wait for about 3.5 hours for Finn to get there. And man, was it worth it.
And then while we were in line, on Facebook, he's known as the Elite Collector. But his name is Arlen. Arlen came up, said hi to us. I always see him over at All Pro Wrestling selling figures and stuff. But then Arlen unfortunately did not get a wristband.
Yeah, he missed out.
But then he goes home and comes back with a crate full of wrestling figures. Actually, let me rephrase that. Arlen comes back with a milk crate full of Finn Balor figures. So I would say about 8 to 9 elites.
Yeah, easily. Yeah.
And about 3 basics.
Yep.
Sold those off in line because people were like, oh, a Finn Balor action figure. I could get this signed in there.
He had that basket sold probably in about 10 to 15 minutes. Gone. Yeah. How smart was that? Dude, you bring a basket full of Finn figures to a Finn signing.
Brilliant.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Wonderful. Dude, yeah, that delightful. Wait, okay, side note here. Dude, if nobody watches TNA, how do you have 17,000 plus screaming delete at a WWE pay-per-view?
Because people knew what it was, but nobody watches TNA.
Dude, we had a good laugh about that at our seats. When everybody's chanting delete, I'm like, how is it that nobody watches Impact, but everybody knows obsolete, delete? We were cracking up, dude. That you had like 18,000 something people just like screaming delete for nobody that watches that show. I just thought it was hilarious. Anyway, yes, brilliant move on Arlen's part to bring that crate of Finns. He sold out of all of them within about 10 to 15 minutes, and I'm glad he came back because that's how I was able to score the Sasha Elite figure that I got signed today.
Yeah, Arlen came back. You said, hey, would he happen to have the Sasha Elite? I was like, I don't know, I'll ask. And then Arlen came up and I was like, hey man, do you happen to have the Sasha Elite? He goes, yeah. I was like, how much you want? And named his price. And you were like, sold.
Yeah, I mean, he is the Elite collector, so maybe that was a silly question to ask him if he had one. But yeah, dude, the packaging was perfect. You guys were nice enough to bring it to me last night at the pay-per-view, and I got it signed today. So thank you, Arlen, for coming through for me, man. I was going to get a basic sign, but man, that Elite sure looks sweet hanging on the wall now.
Oh, and I also picked up the Jerry Lawler Hall of Fame figure from Arlen too.
Oh man, that is a sweet looking figure.
It is. That's up for figure of the year right now.
Absolutely. And will no doubt be high seated in the round of 64 next year.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So then we finally get up to Finn and I get up there and I ask him how his Lego collection is doing.
Of course you did.
Yes.
He said, delightful.
It was funny too, because he goes, man, it's going really well. It's growing by leaps and bounds.
Ask him about his Legos.
I slacked off in Florida, and I didn't have any questions ready for the people we met.
Yeah.
So I slacked off, and I was like, I got to get back to that, because I like asking questions that they don't expect, that kind of catches them off guard.
Yeah, that's kind of your thing, is like you always have a queued up question for them, and it's always good, and it engages them in conversation. That's like your thing.
Yeah, because, you know, you can go up to them, and you can ask, hey, do you remember your match against someone in New Japan? Can you talk about it? You know, you can do that. That's fine. But I like having a question that's off guard, you know, just kind of out of the blue, makes them go, oh, what's up? You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So anyways, you guys were behind us.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, I got the TRU exclusive signed and his Elite 41 signed.
Same here.
Got the Elite 41 signed in yellow and the TRU exclusive signed in white.
Yep. Good old paint pens.
Yep. And it's funny too, because when we were in line, all you heard was the little ball that's inside the paint pens. Other people clicking it, you know.
Yeah, it's the new rage in getting figure signed, dude. The paint pens are the thing. It just pops so much more on the figure.
So you got the same exact figure signed.
I did. So I was with my oldest daughter, Alana. Shannon really, really, really wanted to go, to the point where, like, I mean, she was crushed. She had to miss it. But she had a softball game to coach at 1 p.m. and had committed to assist one of the assistant coaches, one of the team moms, with watching 20 girls at a slumber party that Peyton had been invited to. So Shannon was on kid duty that night. She had already committed, didn't want to back out, even though it was Finn Balor, who was like her favorite wrestler in the WWE right now, possibly her favorite male wrestler of all time. She had to miss out, and Peyton missed out. It's Finn and AJ and Nakamura for Peyton. Those are her big three, and she missed out too. So that sucked. So I had my oldest daughter, Alana, with me, and we go up to meet Finn, and I give him the two sweet. And I'm making sure Alana, because I wanted Alana to record it so she could show Shannon. And I'm making sure Alana's recording. I had put my figures down on the table and I'm looking at Alana. And so I was going to do the same thing as you. I was going to do white on the network exclusive and yellow on the Elite 41. Well, as I'm like making sure everything's good with the lady with the camera and Alana with her camera recording, Finn grabs his gray Sharpie or a silver Sharpie and signs the network exclusive.
Oh.
And I kind of look down and I'm like, oh, crap. And I'm like, oh, could you do? And he goes, well, this one's signed. And I'm like, okay. And then he's starting to sign the Elite 41, luckily in the white paint pen. And that's okay. I'll take white. I wanted yellow. White's fine. And he's starting to sign it. And I go, could you make that out to Peyton and Shannon? Because I wanted something for Peyton and Shannon since they weren't able to be there. And I go, could you make that out to Peyton and Shannon? He had already signed his signature. And he writes, my youngest Peyton, her name is P-E-Y-T-O-N. And he writes P-A-Y. And he goes, oh, is it P-A-Y-T-O-N? I go, yeah, that's fine. I'm like, oh, man, this is a cluster F, dude. This is horrible. I'm like, there's too much to manage. I can't handle it. So he did sign the Elite 41 in white paint pen. It says to Peyton and Shannon, and then he signed his name. But the network exclusive is in silver Sharpie, and it looks okay. It just, when you look at the two signatures side by side, the Elite 41 and the network exclusive, you really get a sense of the difference of the paint pen versus your traditional Sharpie. It is such a night and day difference to how it even looks on your wall. So I'm a 100% believer now in the paint pens. That's all I want to use going forward. I'm going to grab a couple myself, just keep them in a baggie, and as I go to signings, just take them with me. It is a great investment if you're an autograph on your figure collector. It just looks fantastic.
Did Peyton say anything about her name being misspelled?
Not at all. She was okay with it. Because like I said, her big three is Nakamura, AJ, and Finn. They could call her Sally, and she'd be like, yeah, that's my name. We're all good. I love you guys. So yeah, it was all good. She didn't care at all. She goes, Daddy, it's okay. Finn misspelled my name. I don't care.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, she was totally happy, but crushed that she missed it, as was Shannon. But I made sure I told Finn, you know, yeah, my wife really wanted to come and my youngest daughter, they were totally hoping to make it. That was for their benefit. Shannon wanted me to say something, so I did. But yeah, that was just a lot of fun getting to meet Finn, man. Just a really, really cool guy.
Yep. Next day, we went over to the Cow Palace. There was a big, big card show going on. You know what's funny, dude, is I walked in and it just reminded me of the card shows that you and I used to go to when we were used collecting starting lineups or baseball cards or hockey cards.
Those were the days, man. Those were so much fun to go to.
Yep. So I walk over, get the Hogan autograph ticket. You have to wait in this line.
Did you pre-purchase it, by the way?
No, I didn't. I wish I would have, but...
Oh, you showed up and bought it.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
So you kind of have to wait behind this line, and they have everyone signing in this one section.
Okay.
So in this section was Ricky Steamboat, former Oakland Raider Cliff Branch, Hogan. Next to Hogan was Jimmy Hart. Next to Jimmy Hart was Dwight Clark. Joe Montana was next to Dwight. And then Dennis Rodman was at the end. And I know Tyson was there, but I couldn't see Tyson. I couldn't see Mike Tyson. So you have to wait behind the yellow line, and then somebody is doing roll call. So he's like, okay, if you have a ticket between 1 and 10 for Hulk Hogan, walk up to the line. So you walk up to the line. And then he calls out, oh, if you have a ticket 1 through 20 for Dennis Rodman, go to Dennis Rodman's line. So you have to show him the ticket and you walk up in the line.
Okay.
I had number 30, so I was kind of waiting there for a little bit. I was talking to this other Buffalo Bills fan while I was there, so that kind of passed the time. So they finally called my number. I go up. And I'm standing in line, and somebody had the replica 86 title, the one that I've been looking for.
Oh, like the full-on belt?
The full-on belt, dude. And oh. I asked him, I said, where did you get that? He goes, dude, I got this about 12 years ago, 11 years ago, something like that. Anyways, he goes, At the time, I only paid $400, but everybody now is asking about $1,000 to $1,200 for it.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, because the 86 title is basically non-existent anymore. And that's the one I want. People call that the 86 title. I call it the 87 title. When you Google search 87 title, it comes up with the one that was specifically made for Andre.
Oh, but that was 88.
Exactly. That's why I'm always confused. I'm like, why do people call that one the 87 title? The 87 title is the one that Hogan wore against Andre.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyways, the guy told me that he paid $400 for it. And I was like, oh, dude, if only, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Oh, my gosh.
Right. So I'm behind this kid. And this kid walks up, and he has the original WrestleMania 3 poster.
Original.
Original WrestleMania 3 poster.
Wow.
And he lays it out for Hogan, and he also had it paid for inscription.
Yes.
So Hogan goes, well, what do you want me to write? And the dude goes, improv it. I don't care. Write what you want.
So wait. Dude, there were a couple different inscription prices, and it was based on how many words he wrote.
Well, that one I did not know.
I believe when I looked at the Hogan pricing, there were different inscription prices, and it was depending on how many words you had him inscribe. So,
really?
Yes. If I'm remembering correctly, when I was looking at the Hogan pricing, because I thought it was just ridiculous.
Right.
If he got up there and didn't have anything in mind, and he paid for the most expensive one, and Hogan wrote, like, brother with an exclamation point, he would have totally gotten ripped off. That's a huge set walking up there and just asking Hogan to wing it for something you paid good money for.
No, I think he paid for the cheapest one.
He paid for the cheapest?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, then that was strong. That's a good move. I like that.
Yeah. So he told Hogan, he goes, improvise it. So Hogan goes, is it okay if I wrote I slammed the giant, brother? And the guy goes, perfect. He goes, okay, I'll write it here, because in the picture, it's got a white background as Hogan and Andre are looking at each other.
Okay.
So he wrote in the white background, I slammed the giant, brother, and then signed it down below. And it looked great.
Oh, that's so cool.
And Hogan looked at him and he goes, dude, this is the original WrestleMania 3 poster. He goes, you know how much you could make on this? And the guy goes, I'm not selling it. I'm going to just get it framed.
Absolutely. That is a true collector right there. Good for him.
Yep. And Hogan looked at him. He goes, oh, brother, you know. And so he also had a picture of him and Hogan at WrestleMania Access back at WrestleMania 31 here in Santa Clara.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So Hogan signed that. So Hogan thought he was done. So Hogan grabbed his phone and Hogan hid it under the table and started texting. And the guy had this little small kind of an end piece to a ticket stub. And he showed it to Hogan. And he goes, Hogan, do you know what this is? And Hogan's texting. And he hands it over to Hogan and Hogan grabs it. But Hogan's looking at his phone. And he goes, this is the original ticket stub from Madison Square Garden from the night you beat Sheik.
How in the world do you come across something like that?
eBay, dude. eBay, maybe you were there. I don't know, dude.
Oh my gosh.
And Hogan was still texting, and then he finally put his phone down, and he looks up, and he goes, oh my God, it is. He goes, that's the night Hulkamania was born. And Hogan flipped it over and signed it. He didn't even pay for it. Hogan just flipped it over and signed it.
Something like that absolutely warrants a free Hogan autograph, dude. That is an amazing piece to have in your collection. Could you even imagine having that ticket stub? Like, the biggest moment in wrestling. Some might argue it was the NWO, but I think it was the birth of Hulkamania. Something that key in the world of wrestling, and you have that ticket stub. It happened that night, and Hogan just signed it. He has to get the Sheik to autograph it now, right?
If he wants to. It was kind of a small ticket stub, so if he had Sheik sign it, he would have to flip it over and write on the front.
Oh, good point. Yeah.
Yeah. So Hogan flipped it over and just signed it.
Oh, that is awesome.
It was pretty cool, dude. So I walked up there with the LJN, and Hogan goes, what do you want me to sign it with? And I said, what do people normally get these signed with? And he goes, black Sharpie. And he went down and he signed it up in the upper right-hand corner where there was creases.
Oh.
Yeah, and I was hoping he would sign it over the Wrestling Superstars part up in the upper left-hand corner.
Yeah.
And he started to sign. I'm like, okay. Because Greg Valentine signed in the upper left-hand corner.
Yes. I think it would make the autograph pop a little more going over the red lettering on the card.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But Hogan signed it up in the upper right-hand corner. And I asked him, I said, so what was your favorite Hogan figure? And he goes, oh, man, there's so many. And I said, I know, right? And I said, but you have to choose. I go, you have to choose one. And he goes, you know what? You can't go wrong with these LJNs. The LJNs were definitely my favorite of all time.
And you're like, well, you know what? Our round of 64 says otherwise, Hogan. So you just made the list.
Yeah, you jobbed out to a Macho Man defining moment.
Your LJN didn't even make it to the final, brother.
You know what's funny, dude, is I got up to Hogan and I didn't have that mark out moment. I was like, cool. You know, I get to meet Hogan. That's cool. That's it. I didn't get that same mark out moment that I got with Sting or Nikita Koloff in Florida.
And that's the first time you met Hogan?
Very first time I ever met Hogan.
But you weren't a big... I mean, you liked Hogan.
Oh, dude, I loved Hogan, man. To say I wasn't a big Hogan fan, I was a ginormous Hogan fan when I was a kid.
Yeah, but that really fell off when Brett came in.
Very true.
That really fell off with Brett. And then, especially when Hogan became NWO, you and I harbored a lot of resentment to all of those guys that were jumping ship. And Hogan was one of those.
Yeah.
We didn't really watch WCW as much, so... Maybe that's why, because basically, like, you were a big Hogan fan up until, like, what, like, 92, 93, maybe, when Brett really took off, and then...
About 90, 91, yeah.
Which would have made you, what, like, 13 years old?
11 or 12, yeah.
Okay, so, like, from your, like, early teens on, you were more of a Brett guy than you were a Hogan guy, but, like, your childhood was Hogan. But then, like, when you started to become, like, a teenager, like, your preteen years, you were more of a Brett guy. So maybe that's why you didn't get the, like, the weird feeling meeting Hogan.
Yeah, in Florida, dude, Nikita and Sting, man, I couldn't speak. I really couldn't speak. And same thing with Tully Blanchard last year in Dallas. I couldn't speak, dude. I was like, oh, my God. But with Hogan, I was like, cool. I was like, I'm finally meeting Hogan. This is awesome. And I didn't mark out.
Wow. That's crazy. Yeah. I kind of did. If you recall, I went to that Cold Stone Creamery. I think it was a Cold Stone. Hogan autograph signing back in 2005. Wasn't it? 2005, 2006?
It was 2006.
2006. It was more for Brooke Hogan, but to get people to show up, they had to put that Hulk Hogan was going to be there too.
Right.
And so I got to meet Hogan then. And yeah, I got that weird, like, oh my gosh, it's Hulk Hogan. Like, I absolutely got that. Alana, of course, just had a wild 94.9 tattoo on the side of her face and couldn't care less, you know, but me, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's Hulk Hogan. This is amazing. So I absolutely got that the first time I met Hogan, dude. I'm actually kind of surprised you didn't.
No, dude, I didn't. And then went to the pay-per-view last night, and the pay-per-view was awesome up until the House of Horrors match.
Yeah, the crowd kind of crapped on that.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, okay, the crowd just, like, diarrheaed all over that match. They just literally loathed it.
It's like for men. That's kind of, I'm gonna stick with me here. So, for gentlemen, we've all been hit in the nether regions.
Yes.
And you go through certain stages. You go through the vomiting stage. You go through the... blackout stage, and you also go through a I'm going to defecate myself stage.
Along with our listeners, I'm really, really wondering where you're going with this, dude, but continue. This is fascinating.
That's what it felt like watching the House of Horrors match, dude.
So you're comparing it to a kick in the cojones. Okay.
But no, the crowd went through three stages, dude. It was, they booed, then they went through the, okay, all of us are going to be on our phones.
Yeah.
And then it went through the boring chants.
Yeah, luckily there was no real vomiting or defecation or throwing of said defecation into the ring while this was going on. The crowd did keep their composure and limit their displeasure to booing and boring.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a good show, dude. I thought the show was strong. The crowd was hot. I know a lot of people didn't come across TV that way, but I thought the show was good. I really did.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it too.
Aside from the House of Horrors and the ending. The ending was really weird because Cole, Booker T, and not Adam Cole. Wow.
Not yet, dude.
Right. Graves were still sitting at the booth. And there was nothing announcing that the show was over.
Yeah.
So everybody on our section was kind of sitting there like, can we go now? Are we good? Are we good? Are we off the air? You know, are we good? Can we go?
Yeah.
And finally we got to a point where we're like, okay, I think it's good to go now. There's no cameramen around ringside, so I think we're good to go.
Right. It was confusing.
Yeah, it was very confusing. So we left after that, but it was a good show.
Yeah, it was a good show. It was Alana and Peyton's first pay-per-view to take them to. Alana loved it. She thought it was great. Peyton, on the other hand, showed up in full Bailey garb.
Uh-oh.
And the Bailey match came on. She was dancing, and she made a little sign that said legit hugger on one side and I love Bailey on the other. And then Bailey got pinned. And I'm hopeful that Peyton wants to go to another pay-per-view, but she was literally bawling. She was crying. I took her downstairs. She was crying so much that her little mouth was quivering. Like, it was that crying, and, like, she was getting a headache from it because she was crying. Like, I felt so bad for her because I put myself in her shoes. And I think back to when Ricky Steamboat was draped across the guardrail and the Macho Man leapt off the top rope and crushed his larynx and left him laying. And the physicians came out, had to take Ricky back, and we didn't know if Ricky was going to wrestle again. I also remember that Saturday Night's Main Event where Jake DDT'd Ricky on the concrete, legit knocked him out. I remember those things as a kid, and that was real to me. And it's neat. It's not neat that my daughter was crying, don't get me wrong. It's neat getting to see how real this is to her, that this is her real life superhero. She wants to be a wrestler when she turns 18. She's telling me that now. Daddy, when I'm 18, I'm going to go to wrestling school and I'm going to learn how to do this. And I hope that Bailey is still wrestling so that I can tag team with her. Like, this dude, I know that it's so real to her that when her favorite loses, it brings her to tears, like literal tears. And it takes me back to when I was a youngster, dude. I didn't cry watching that happen to Ricky Steamboat, but I was crushed. And I'm like, oh my gosh, my hero is hurt. Like, is he going to be okay? It was real to me then. I didn't know the whole production behind it and there were people making these decisions and that Ricky wasn't really hurt. Well, in the Jake match, he was, because he was legit knocked out, had a big old egg on his forehead. I just love watching Peyton go through this because this is what forms you as a fan and forms that diehard love of the product. So, dude, while she was crying, I'm like proud papa the whole time, like, this is still real to her, damn it. And she loves it. And it was such a great experience to be able to share that with her. So to kind of put the happy ending bow on this whole thing, I went and got her some chocolate ice cream and her and Alana shared that and Peyton's tears were over and she now officially hates Alexa Bliss. So there's the happy ending bow to put on all of this. But it was such a great experience to be able to share that with my kids and watch Peyton kind of go through that and watch how much Alana enjoyed going to the show. And we'll get to this, but a meeting Sasha Banks today, just all around such a great experience and great weekend to be able to share with the kids and watch them kind of go through the same things that you and I went through as kids and form our love of the product and watch them go through the same process. Just amazing weekend and just had so much fun with it.
I hope Alana and Peyton have a podcast one day. And Alana calls Peyton out about Bailey losing, like you do with me about Strike Force and Demolition.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm gonna tell Alana, bring that up about 5 times an episode.
Yeah. And I'm gonna tell Peyton, all you need to say to Sissy is, it's still real to me, damn it. And that will shut it down.
You mentioned it. Why don't you get into the Sasha Banks?
Yes, Sasha Banks was at the Cricket Wireless store in Roseville today from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. So we wanted to get an earlier start, but the more I was thinking about it, the Finn Balor signing was on Saturday, primetime, 5 p.m., and the line really didn't shut down until about 2:30, and that was a Saturday. So my thinking was, this is a Monday morning signing. A lot of people are either going to be at work or at school. Starts at 11 a.m. Like, it's not like people can, like, go on their lunch hour because it started at 11. So I didn't think we needed to get there at, like, 6 a.m. or anything. So we left Tracy at about 8:15, got to Roseville at about 9:30 or so, 9:45. And I called ahead to check the status on the line, and the lady told me that we were way good. I called her when we were in, like, Sacramento just to check on the status so I didn't need to, like, turn around and go home. And she was like, no. If you show up within, like, the next whatever, you're totally fine. Absolutely. So we got there, and I would say we were probably about 60th in line. So totally guaranteed a signature. Dude, I'm telling you right now, all of our listeners, if you ever have a chance to go to a Cricket Wireless signing, absolutely go out of your way to do so. They had donuts, they had coffee, they had water, they were doing trivia, they were doing a who has the most swag contest, it was constantly engaging the crowd, so you didn't notice that you were sitting in line for three and a half hours like we did on Saturday. There wasn't much going on in line aside from our conversations, but the Cricket Wireless signing went by so fast. They had a DJ playing music. They had other vendors there. You could enter contests. It was great. So probably at about 10 o'clock or so, they run a, as I mentioned, a who has the most swag contest. And Shannon immediately was like, take the girls up there. Because I washed Peyton's Bailey outfit last night. We got home at about 10 o'clock. I'm doing laundry. So Peyton could wear her Bailey outfit again today to the Sasha signing. So I'm doing laundry last night at 10. So Peyton wore her Bailey outfit again. Alana was wearing her WrestleMania 32 shirt. And we had two Sasha Basics and a Sasha Elite, thanks to the Elite Collector, to get signed today. So I ran the kids up there. I had to go with them because I was legal guardian and they were under 18. Had to go up with them. And so there were three people ahead, all wearing Sasha gear. One dude had his Sasha cardboard cutout with him. Somebody else actually drew a picture of Sasha that was amazing.
Nice.
So I took the kids up and the lady was like, oh, you guys are so adorable. You're my fourth contestant because they're taking four contestants. So she took the kids as a pair. She paraded them around and everybody got to vote. Long story short, everybody got kind of the same amount of cheers and all four contestants got front of the line passes. So you basically got in before everybody else. Well, the thing is, they only gave you two, and we had four people. And Shannon was like, just go in with Peyton, stand in line with Peyton, I'll take Alana back with me into the main line. So I'm standing there, and then Shannon calls me, and she's like, you know, we kind of talked about getting, like, the whole family's picture with Sasha. This kind of defeats the purpose. She's like, should we give that front of the line up to somebody? Like, how should we do this? So we're debating back and forth over the phone, and I go talk to the lady that did the contest. And I told her, you know, I've got my wife here with my oldest daughter. I might have to give up the pass because, you know, we all wanted to get a picture with Sasha. And she's like, well, don't forfeit it yet. Just hold tight. Let me see what I can do. And I go, okay, so like 10, 15 minutes, because it's like 10:20 at this point. Sasha's going to be there at 11. And she's like, well, I don't have a time frame. Just let me work on it. Let me see what I could do. Maybe 10 minutes later, a guy named Jason with Cricket comes up and he was like, hey, I was getting ready to actually go up and give up my pass and be like, you know what, we're just going to go back in the main line and just wait because we want to get a family picture with her. Guy named Jason with Cricket comes up and he's like, hey, you know, we're all about family. We want to make this a family affair. Go get your wife and oldest daughter and we're going to put you guys in the fast pass line all together. I'm like, are you kidding me? And he goes, no, go get the wife and the oldest daughter. We're going to hook it up for you. I'm like, you're amazing. He's like, just make sure that when you switch plans, you go Cricket Wireless. And I was like, absolutely. This is great. You gave us donuts, water, coffee, and front of the line. I was like, dude, absolutely. I went back. I got Shan. They hooked us up with an extra pass. So where we were about 60th in line, we cut to like 10th in line.
Dang.
Oh, it was great, dude. We got to see Sasha roll up in front in a black SUV. They got out. They let her in. The crowd went crazy for her. She went in. She was standing up the whole time. They had a whole setup in there for her. And she was great. So we got up and Alana took her and Peyton's basic, which Sasha signed it to Peyton and Alana. She actually spelled Peyton's name with an E. Come on, Finn. Step up your game, dude. She actually got the names right. She put to Peyton and Alana and then signed her name on the basic. She then signed, sorry, dude. She signed Peyton's legit hugger sign with the gold paint pen.
Oh.
I know. So she signed the basic and the sign with the gold paint pen, signed Sasha Banks on there, gave Peyton a hug, took a picture with the kids, and then Shan and I got the your basic and our elite signed. I got orange paint pen on the elite and the gold paint pen on the, your basic. And then we took a big family portrait with Sasha. And I'll tell you what, Sasha Banks, with that appearance today, she was so sweet, took time with the kids, just like gave hugs. Peyton actually drew a picture on the way to the show or on the way to the signing for Sasha to give to Bailey. And Sasha, I don't know what she did with it, but she actually took the picture and was like, oh, I'll absolutely give this to Bailey and put it on the table next to her, which I thought was like awesome. So we got the pictures. We walked out. The experience was done. And Peyton goes, okay, Sasha's one of my favorites now. So,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Sasha absolutely made two lifelong fans today. Alana was already like having a huge fangirl moment. I was like, what did you say to her? And Alana's like, I didn't know what to say. I was so nervous. I was like, oh, that's awesome. But Peyton had no fear.
Alana wasn't nervous with Finn, but she was nervous with Sasha?
No, she was nervous with Finn.
Oh, she was?
Oh, yeah, dude, because she thought he was cute.
Oh.
Yeah, disgusting, right?
Did she think he was sexy?
I don't know about that.
Did she think he had the looks that drives all the girls wild?
He also had the moves that make him shiver.
That really moved him?
Yeah, she thought she was on cloud nine. So I think she was nervous for Finn in a different respect than she was today. Like, she likes Finn, but it's more like, ooh, Finn's cute, same reason she likes The Miz. But she actually loves and appreciates what Sasha is doing for the women's division, and that's why she's such a fan of Sasha. So it was more of a big fangirl moment today. Like, Saturday was like, ooh, he's cute, I like him. Today was more of a like you meeting Brett, or like me meeting Finn on Saturday, more of a like, oh my gosh, this guy's amazing. Like, that was her experience today. And she didn't know what to say. She completely fangirled out and just like shut down. Like you with Sting, you know, or you with Nikita, just like completely was like, oh my gosh, I have no idea what to say. But as we were leaving, yeah, like, I can tell you 100% that Sasha's experience made both of them lifelong fans today. And like I said, just it was a great kind of a bow to put on the entire weekend of Finn on Saturday, Payback on Sunday, Sasha experience today. Just what a great experience. And to have my kids involved in every step of it was just so great. And so we are officially a wrestling family now. Like, Raw's Monday, Tuesday is SmackDown, pay-per-view Sunday when it's applicable, and just great weekend. Great weekend.
Yeah, it really was. It was a tiring weekend, like you said, because we still had the podcast. We still had to, you know, we have stuff around the house. We have, you know, you have life around you, but doing everything this weekend was amazing. It was just so much fun, you know?
Yeah, I love having it in our backyard, too. That definitely helps out.
Big time. Scott, we are going to hit up Jack's Classic Series 28.
Let's do it.
We almost went Broadway on the toy spotting.
I think we did. I'm kind of looking at the time here, and I'm like, oh, dude, like, this might be a long show. Strap in, listeners.
Let's hit up Jack's Classic Series 28. I came to play. There's a price to pay. Tough for you to get down on your knees. Scott, this is our last series of Jack's Classics. Some people are celebrating. We are not, because we love this line so much.
Yes, we do. And I'll tell you, we talked about it last week. This was a great set to get signed, man. I love the appearance of the signatures. And these are great cards. It all ties so well together.
Unfortunately, this last set was a miss, but why don't you hit it up?
This was kind of Jack's phone-it-in set. It was the last series they were doing, so I think they're just like, who cares, just throw them out there. And you could tell in looking at the figures themselves, not exactly a shining moment for Jax here, but here we go. Here is Jax Classic Series 28. You have Bret Hart, and he was in his kind of his 97 look when he would do his interviews. Hart Foundation shirt, and he was wearing a pair of jorts, possibly borrowed from John Cena. We don't know if John Cena was wearing jorts yet, but one can only assume.
Allegedly.
You also had Roddy Piper, who was in a Hot Rod t-shirt and jeans. I don't know why he was in jeans. You also have Undertaker, also wearing jeans and a t-shirt. I'm sure you're noticing a trend here. We had Shawn Michaels, and he's kind of his DX, his kind of scruffy DX look. He's wearing black tights with the white hearts on them, white boots, and he's got a beard. So it's kind of maybe his like 97, 98 look a little bit with DX. You have Triple H, who's more of his Hunter Hearst Helmsley era Triple H. And finally, yeah, there are only six figures in this set. Rey Mysterio in the LJN throwback.
I didn't even buy the Brett in this.
No. This really just was a complete pass for me. The Rey looks great, but it was a repaint.
Yeah, that's all it was. This is the only Jax LJN that I did not purchase.
Right. I mean, the entire set, all six figures, was just, when you saw them on the pegs, you're like, really? Like, this is how you end it? It was like a whimper that it went out with for the Jax Classic line. It just, nothing to it. If I had to pick a favorite figure, gun to my head, I'm picking the Shawn Michaels, because it's actually pretty good, but it's the only one out of this set that wasn't like t-shirt and jeans.
I didn't like the Shawn. Well, Hunter Hearst Helmsley wasn't t-shirt jeans.
Yeah.
And see, I didn't like the Michaels because he doesn't have wrist tape on.
No wrist tape. Exactly. You're exactly right.
And that bugs me.
It does me too. But when you look at the other ones in the set, you're like, okay, great. Ray's a repaint. That's garbage. Yeah. So, yeah, from I think it's Shawn Michaels, but yeah, I'm with you 100%. The outfit is a total miss without that wrist tape on there.
Yeah. So, Jack's Classic, single packs, you will be missed. We'll finish up the two packs next week, and then after that, we'll hit up the exclusives, and then on to other toy lines. We either go OSFTM, we could go the ECW line, we could go TNA.
Yeah.
We've got many, many routes we can go, because we could go like Ruthless Aggression, but like what happened with the Deluxe Aggression, it just became so redundant.
Yes, exactly. You're like the same names over and over. It would be like covering Mattel Basics. It's like the same right. name over and over. Like, how many sets do you have Roman Reigns in? How many sets do you have John Cena in? Like, ugh.
Yeah, except with Jack's Classic, it's going to be like Spirit Squad or...
yeah.
Actually, you just mentioned it. How many Cenas were in the Ruthless Aggression line?
Oh, it was crazy. I don't even know the number, because Ruthless Aggression went, gosh, like 70 series, and that included half series?
Yeah. So we won't be going into Ruthless Aggression, but... we've got many, many routes to go, and then after those routes, I guess we could hit up Mattel.
Yeah, yeah, we'll start hitting Mattel. Lots of different avenues we can go with. We got another couple weeks of Classic Superstars. Like you mentioned, we'll finish up the two packs next week, and then the week after that, or maybe we'll do three packs next week too. We'll kind of see how it lays out, but we'll wrap this all up on the Classics within about 2 weeks and see where we go next. But what a disappointing last series for the Classic Superstars line. It had... and we've talked about it over the past few podcasts with how much we loved these. And it was great. And our imaginations were just running wild with who else they could make. And then this being the last set, it's like really just jeans and t-shirt everybody except for the DX guys. And a repaint on an LJN, just come on.
They didn't even go out swinging. They went out looking up at the lights. Pin me, pay me, you know?
Yeah, it was like Gene Okerlund at SummerSlam when the sign fell. That's how Jax went out with the Classic Superstars line. I'm not going to say what he said. YouTube it.
Scott, we got your secret question in on this week.
We don't have to.
No, since we didn't have news, you got your secret question.
Oh, good. Well, at least it's only one this week.
Yes, exactly. Let's hit up your secret question.
Okay.
All right, Scott, your secret question this week. Is it a fact that Roddy Piper LJN is your favorite LJN of all time?
Yes, it is. I love the Roddy Piper LJN. It is fantastic. Jimmy Snuka for sentimental reasons, but overall figure, yes, Roddy Piper, favorite LJN.
Okay, you might have just answered one of the questions. What is number 2 through 5? So basically, what are your top 5 LJNs?
Oh, that is a fantastic question. Piper, obviously, because he looked like Roddy Piper.
Uh-huh.
The shirt, the kilt, just and a great pose. I love the body slam pose. I'm all about it. Just nailed Roddy Piper. I'm going to put number 2 as Superfly Snuka, not only for sentimental reasons, but it's a great looking figure.
Mm-hmm. It sure is.
I think that they nailed that Snuka. Just everything about him, the wrist tape, the black knee pads, the leopard trunks. Just absolutely love that figure. I've got to go Hogan, right? Not the second Hogan, although that one is excellent, but the original Hogan, just because it is so iconic. Mm-hmm. You've got to put it at the top of the list.
Oh, absolutely.
Randy Savage.
Number 4.
Yeah, love Randy. These are in no particular order, by the way. Piper and Snuka are... but I think my last 3 are going to be no particular order. I'm going to say Hogan because of how iconic that figure is. Probably the same for Savage, even though that really, really, really looks like Randy Savage. Even though a minor nitpick is he's wearing sunglasses and he didn't wrestle in his sunglasses, but I get it. I get why they did it. I love that Macho Man figure. And finally, Bam Bam Bigelow.
Nice. Excellent, man.
Yeah, I love that Bigelow. They nailed him, dude. The head tattoos, the outfit. He was just bulky enough to not be like obesely fat like Jack's Classic Superstars made a couple of their guys. He's a really, really well done figure by LJN. Like I said, not too obese. They got the outfit with the flames on it, the head tattoos. His face has some character to it with the snarl on it. So there you go. Those are my top 5, but 3, 4, and 5 are in no particular order.
Oh, Man, you answered that with authority, dude. Like, there was no hesitation.
Yeah, just off the top of my head, those are my favorites. Now, you're not going to ask me to FMK those, are you? I don't have to burn any of them and sell them. And okay. Okay, good. I got a little nervous there. I was like, wait, where are we going with this?
No, I just wanted your top five LJNs. And man, I didn't think you would burn through it that fast.
Well, I mean, let's do some honorable mentions here. Ultimate Warrior.
Ultimate Warrior has to be on there. I actually really like the Big Boss Man. I was always using that figure. I thought it was really, really cool. Even though he had sunglasses on, I didn't care.
Yes, but again, it made sense as to why they did it. Just like the Savage, like you knew why they put sunglasses on him. That's such an iconic Savage look. LJN realized that and made the sunglasses on him. That's fine. Same with Boss Man. You know, he would wear sunglasses, so I'm okay with that. He even came with a nightstick. Great accessory. So yes, absolutely, Boss Man is on that list. Ultimate Warrior is definitely on that list for an honorable mention. I mean, we're going to go into a top 10 here. Outback Jack. No, I'm just kidding.
That was like, whoa.
I'm just kidding. How about Kamala?
Kamala was really good.
Yeah, Kamala was an excellent LJN. Dude, Captain Lou.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can't forget the managers.
Absolutely. Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
The Jim was good. I liked his pose. He was kind of different because usually it was the right arm was flexing and the one arm was down, but his was the opposite. His was the left arm was flexing and the right arm was down.
Yes, but think about the sculpt on that piece of rubber that was a Jim Neidhart figure. Excellent face sculpt on that thing.
Yes.
Excellent face sculpt on that thing.
Absolutely. The figures that I got like super happy when we got was the Strike Force figures.
Yes, the Martell was okay, but I always kind of had an issue with the Tito face.
The Tito face was awful.
Yeah, much like the first Andre the Giant, which we discussed last week, kind of a miss for me. It didn't do much for me. And unfortunately, when they made another Tito, they didn't fix it. At least when they made another Andre, they fixed the face. Tito, they just stuck the same horrible face on him and was like, here's another Tito, but he's wearing white trunks this time. Like, just no, fix his face a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
They could have even used that original Tito face that we had seen on the prototypes, and and I would have been happy with that. But no, same Tito, just here's a repaint.
No.
Yeah, no. I was like, who are you, Jax? Like, come on, man, no repaints. Don't phone it in like that.
What other figures? Ted Arcidi, that was a terrific figure.
You brought jokes.
I did. I brought jokes to the podcast tonight.
That's okay. I threw Outback out there, so you got me on that.
Big John Studd was really good. I like that one. The only thing I didn't like about John Studd is he was in the flexing pose, but he was kind of tilted a little bit.
Yeah, and the arms were kind of at like a weird angle too.
Yeah.
Like he was flexing, but his arm was kind of out a little bit from like elbow to hand. Was kind of like bent a weird way. Like, I don't know if that was from the Hogan armbar on the front of the package. That's why they bent the arms weird. But yeah, just kind of strange as to why they did that. But what did you think of the Brett?
It wasn't the best.
Yeah, another one with sunglasses, which made sense, but it could have been better. With as good as Neidhart was, Brett was kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
It's okay. I mean, it's okay. It passes as Brett. There have been worse Brett figures, but it could have been better.
We actually just discussed one on Jack's Classic Series 28.
Yes, exactly. And also, Toy Biz, we're looking at you. But
yeah,
the LJN, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't great either. The Hogan, the second Hogan, what a phenomenal job they did on that.
Fantastic, dude. That was a great Hogan.
Yeah, and while we did buy the Tito repaint because you had to have Strike Force, which I don't fault you at all for that, we did pass on that Hogan because we were like, okay, do we want a Tito that we can have team with Martell that's wearing the same? Because we were big on tag teams. Had to be matchy-matchy. had to have the Tito to match Martell, but passed on Hogan because he was essentially a repaint. But, dude, how good is that Hogan? And do you wish we had grabbed him?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Looking back, I don't regret buying Tito over Hogan because that's essentially what it came down to. Are we going to buy the Tito repaint or are we going to buy Hogan? I don't regret the move at all because you used the crap out of that Tito. And I think Hogan would have been more like, here's Hogan walking to the ring, and then you switch over to the original Hogan and have your match.
Well, actually, if you go back to our original podcast where we were talking about the LJNs, you actually mentioned that you were like, I don't want to get Tito. It's a repaint, but... I had to, you're like, but you have to have Strikeforce.
You did. Like I said, we were big on tag teams and you had to have them matching. So
yeah,
I don't regret it. I mean, on one hand I do, but going back, if I had to do it over again, like teenage me would have made the exact same decision. Like, no, we need to have a Strikeforce tag team set. Hogan is just, it's a new pose, but it would just be like, that's our entrance Hogan. And then we're flipping over to the original Hogan to have the match. We wouldn't actually have a match with that Hogan. It would be like almost like a display piece.
Yeah. What other figures? British Bulldogs, they were awesome.
Yes and no.
Well, I mean, the Davey face was kind of meh.
Yeah, Dynamite was passable, I guess.
Dynamite was definitely passable. Davey was kind of meh, but I mean, it's again, having the British Bulldogs 2-pack.
Yes, the excitement of getting those figures. Dude, Iron Sheik.
Oh, yeah.
Classic. I would call that one also iconic.
Yeah.
In the Iran pants. He was in that great muscle pose. The boots with the hooks on the front. Just iconic figure, dude.
And we talked about this on episode 2. But we'll bring it up again. We're a few episodes in, but our mom would not let us have the Iron Sheik figure because he had Iran on the side of his pants.
Had no problem buying Nikolai Volkoff with USSR on his shirt.
Right.
But Iran was right out. Like, there was no way we were getting that Iron Sheik. Luckily, at some point, she did relent, and we did get our hands on that Iron Sheik figure. But, boy, that really took a lot of convincing. We had to beg for that Iron Sheik figure.
Oh, dude, we begged and begged, and Mom would not back down, and then finally... did we have to save our money to get it, or did Mom and Dad finally get that for us?
I think Mom and Dad finally bought... No. Dude, I think we had to save Christmas money for that one.
Yeah.
I think Mom flat out refused.
Yep, that's right. The funny thing is for Mother's Day back in 2010 or 2011, I picked up the Mattel Iron Sheik, the Legends.
Yes.
And gave that to Mom as a gift. I was ribbing Mom.
Oh, dude. Like, just kidding, Mom. That's mine. Give it back.
Here's your Mother's Day gift.
An Iran figure. That's awesome.
She got a kick out of it, though.
That's funny. But, yeah, look, dude, the tag team boxes. Like, how great was that? Two figures in Windows. It was a huge, just a big-ass blue box. Two tag team belts.
Yep, I was just about to say that.
Yeah, two brown tag team belts. Just the fun of collecting those. The Killer Bees, which we never even had as kids because we couldn't find them. And you just picked them up like last year at that vintage toy store. But looking at those, what great figures those were as well.
And it's cool, dude. The vintage toy store in Alameda, they didn't have them carded. They were loose. They were still in perfect shape. And I was like, I have to have these because Scott and I never had the Killer Bees.
We never had the Killer Bees.
We never found the Killer Bees.
No, and when it came down to buying them from that store, which, by the way, I've retweeted, somebody actually had that wrestling ring ad.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
With all the old figures. Dude, $11.99. Yeah, if only, right?
Well, weren't they $20 at one point?
Yeah, I think like the very last series, like the Ultimate Warrior and the heel Andre, I want to say those were like $19.99. That really took a lot of convincing. A lot of convincing. But even at $12 with shipping, I mean, like back in like 1989... like, that was a pretty penny.
And do you remember when that box showed up?
Oh, dude. That is one of my best childhood memories is when that box showed up. I think Mom and Dad got us, like, 8 figures, something like that. And just, that was just so great. That box was huge. And I was actually off school sick that day. And I knew when the doorbell rang what it was. I just knew it. And I ran out, and there's this huge box just sitting on the porch. And I was like, oh, my gosh, this is it. And I can't open them until Jeff gets home. This sucks. Like, just torture. So I had to wait for you to get home. I'm like, this is awful. I have a day off school. I can't play with these figures. This sucks.
That's great memories right there. I remember getting home from school and seeing the size of that box. And I was like, are those our figures? Because I remember when we placed the order, all I could think was, okay, the figures are going to be here in 2 days. Like, all of a sudden, back in 1989 or 1988. Amazon Prime was then, you know?
Yeah, if only.
But it took like 2 weeks to get that box in, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was shipping from the East Coast. So it took a while to get here. And yeah, there was no Amazon Prime 2-day shipping back in the day. It was like, place your order and just wait.
And that took forever to show up. And oh man, I remember just sitting like each day, did the box show up? Did the box show up? Did the box show up?
Yep.
Boxy to show up, man. Oh.
So what are your top five?
Top five, number one would probably be the Hogan LJN just because of how iconic it was.
Yes.
Number two would probably be Ultimate Warrior.
I do love that one. I do love that Ultimate Warrior.
Number three would be Savage.
Totally understandable.
And I don't want to say Strikeforce because I remember the day I got those Strikeforce figures and the rush of excitement of having the Strikeforce figures.
Yes.
I think just for nostalgia reasons and me going back to being a kid,
yes,
I have to say Strikeforce. Or, it's interchangeable. It could be the British Bulldogs because I remember when Dad and I found them at Best.
Yep. I remember that too.
Oh, man. That's a tough one. Four and five is a tough one. It could flip-flop either way.
So Piper's not in your top five?
It isn't.
Wow. That's crazy. But he's an honorable mention, at least like a top 10, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Definitely. Definitely. Maybe that whole series one would be an honorable mention just because of being a kid and then looking at the Hogan LJN, I'm like, this is dumb.
Yes.
Tossing it to the, talked about this a gazillion times. I tossed that Hogan to the side. And then 2 days later after Christmas, we were kids. We left all of our toys downstairs.
Yep.
All of a sudden, I'm watching cartoons, eating a bowl of cereal. And all of a sudden, here comes Hogan on channel two.
Yep.
I look at Hogan on TV and I look over at the figure that you had just received for Christmas. Back to the TV, back to Hogan. I'm like, what is this? Like, why is this all of a sudden consuming my life? What's going on here?
Yep. And that's when the story starts.
Yep. That's when Hulkamania was born, and that's when Jeffamania was born for collecting figures, dude.
Brother.
Scott, we've got a new segment. I don't know how this is going to come across, but I thought, let's give it a shot. I kind of thought of it today, and you green-lighted it, and I thought, let's do it. So, Scott, this segment's going to be called The Godfather's Hat.
Oh, yeah. I love it. This segment's going to be pimping. I dig it.
So, how appropriate. Let's use The Godfather's music.
That's so great. Come get on the train.
Pimping ain't easy. Scott, this segment is called The Godfather's Hat, and here's how...
I'm probably going to laugh every time we do that segment, dude.
We don't actually have The Godfather's Hat. I'm using my San Francisco Giants hat.
No, but at some point, we're going to need to purchase a hat like The Godfather's, just to keep this thing legit.
Didn't we have a Halloween costume where it was a Godfather's hat?
Yes, I think that thing went to Goodwill years ago, dude.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Maybe I could still go to Goodwill and buy it back. We'll see.
So here's how it'll be like a little game. So here's how the game works. So six names got thrown into the Godfather's hat. And actually it's six wrestling figures. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to shake the Godfather's hat and I will pull out one wrestling figure. Scott and I will go in depth on the figure, talk about it, go in depth about it. So, is there anything else I'm missing? It's pretty plain and simple.
That's pretty much it. Pull a name from a hat,
yeah.
And we go in depth on the figure.
So, Scott, I threw in six names before you started the show. I am shuffling the Godfather's hat.
Can I ask you a question in advance?
Yes, go for it.
Are you throwing, like, wrenches in the gears here by throwing in, like, a really crappy figure?
No, I did throw in one.
Why do you gotta be like that, dude?
Do you want me to say what it was after the show or after the segment?
Yeah, let's run through it and then tell me the crappy figure that you throw. Or at the end of it, you could just read off the other figures that you put in there and we'll just kind of know that that was the crappy one that you threw in.
I don't know about that because I kind of want to save it for material for next.
You're going to save the names. Okay. Okay. Yeah, then don't say it when we'll just address it when we come across segment again.
Actually, you know what? I can check this one. I'll check this one out of the hat, but I'll say it after we pick this one.
Okay.
So, all right, Scott, I am reaching into the Godfather's hat.
How does it smell?
Dude, this is pure sweat.
Nice.
The figure that you and I will be discussing this week is... you and I are discussing the Macho Man LJN.
Okay, can you go back and just pull the audio from the last segment that we did and just plug it into here? It'll just be like a repeat. Oops.
Yeah, maybe I think I forgot which six I threw into the Godfather's hat. And
Oops.
Well, the Godfather's hat produced the Macho Man LJN, so we must discuss it yet again.
It has spoken. You cannot argue with the Godfather's hat, or you will be slapped with the backhand.
Yeah, this is like the sorting hat from Harry Potter.
Right, but not as scary.
So, how appropriate, dude, huh?
Yeah, sorry, listeners, if you were looking for fresh material, but we're just going to rehash what we talked about in the last segment, and we're going to discuss it again.
So the Macho Man LJN, as you heard from the previous segment.
Well, it made both of our top fives.
It did. So the Macho Man, he had the headband on. He had the flat hair underneath the headband. Very reminiscent of 86, 87 Macho.
Very much so, yes.
He had on the sunglasses, as you heard. He also had on the purple trunks with the three white stars, the traditional Macho Man trunks.
Yep. Yellow boots.
This is not our favorite Macho Man.
No, but not our favorite.
This Macho Man at the time, though, as you said, never lost until he started facing Ricky Steamboat, right?
Right, right. Ricky Steamboat was pretty much the only person that beat Macho Man.
Macho was also in a flexing pose. You know, when we got this figure, you talk about that moment where you're like, oh, man, you know, you have this figure. You know, a lot of people with the Elite Finn Balor 41.
Yes.
That was us with this Macho LJN. And again, you heard it last segment, but this was just amazing having this Macho LJN. I didn't like Macho at the time. I thought he was too way over the top. I didn't like Macho.
Well, he was the biggest heel on the roster at the time. Piper had turned face.
Well, Andre.
Yeah.
Actually, Savage was a little bit before Andre's heel turn. Because he beat Tito for that IC title back in 86.
In 86, right, right. And then he started his kind of slow face turn towards the end of 87. And so, yeah, Andre's heel and Savage's heel did overlap for a minute. But I would kind of argue that Savage, I mean, he was doing, him and Jake, man, were just so dastardly. Like, until Jake turned face, dude, he was like a horrible heel. Like, he would do the worst, like throwing your snake on somebody. Come on, dude, that's disgusting. And like dropping Ricky Steamboat on his dome. Like, Ricky Steamboat, like, that guy made heels, didn't he?
Oh, he did, dude. He made everyone look good, man. It was like the Hardys when they first started in WWE. They were taking bumps and you thought they were dead, man.
Yeah, they made the other guys just look like legitimate monsters. Like, they could just make you look great. Kind of like Roman did with Braun last night. Savage to me, in my mind, I mean, yes, Andre was a complete badass. He was messing with Hogan, just being the total heel. But Savage to me was just more intense and had a broader range of opponents that he was a heel toward, like Tito and Steamboat, Junkyard Dog, like fought with all those guys, George the Animal Steel. Just, he was a more over the top heel to me, more aggressive. I would say he was the biggest heel on the roster. So to get, that's just my opinion, to get a Savage figure, which you mentioned was in the flex pose, which was good for the body slam.
And it was good for the elbow drop.
Followed immediately by that elbow drop. Was in the perfect pose. And it's great that LJN was mindful of the pose that they put him in, because the playability on that figure, you could use him over and over and over again and do all of his signature moves. I just, as a kid, I used that Macho Man so much. And especially when he turned face, that Macho never lost, dude.
Until you got Ricky Steamboat.
Well, no, after the fact. So Savage lost when he was a heel. When we owned Savage and Savage was a heel, Savage lost to Ricky Steamboat. But when Savage turned face, that Savage never lost. Him and Ultimate Warrior were like my top winners. I didn't use Steamboat as much because Steamboat was kind of, you know, he had the kid and he wasn't really on TV too much as he used to be. You know, he lost the IC belt. He was in the heavyweight title tournament, lost. He wasn't really focused. So I kind of like shifted the way I played with the guy, the LJN figures as well. And dude, it was mostly Savage and Warrior just like blowing through the competition. Like, my Savage and Warrior never lost. And the playability of that Savage was just so good. You know, yeah, he was wearing sunglasses, but you could get around that. You understood why they did that on the figure. Even as a display piece, you know, if you opened him up and put him up on your shelf, or even to keep him in the packaging, he just looks amazing. It's such a great figure.
Looks great.
Like, how great would it be if you had that figure signed hanging up on your wall? That is a great, great display piece. Even unsigned. What a great collector's item. And you know that they actually did release him on the black card as well. Same figure,
yes, they did.
But on the black card. But me, if I was going to have my choice of do you want the blue or the black, I would have to go old school and go blue card hanging on the wall. That would just be an amazing piece to add to the collection.
Well, I think we saved that up that segment.
Yeah, sorry to rehash from the previous segment. I hope that didn't bother too many people. And hopefully, you know, you kind of share our love of LJNs and remember how great that Macho Man was. I would love to hear the other people's Macho Man's win-loss records. Did he ever lose as a good guy?
Do you remember your first time seeing Macho at the Oakland Coliseum?
Was that against Junkyard Dog?
That was against Junkyard Dog in the spitting contest.
Disgusting.
Oh, people in the front row were like, oh, this is so gross. They're getting pelted with savage spit.
Or as Becky Lynch would say, disgusting. That was horrible. Why do you spit on each other and miss? Where is it going to go?
That was like the first 3 or 4 minutes of the match.
Yeah. Suddenly it's a Gallagher concert. People are putting up tarps in the front row. Like, gosh, come on, guys.
It was funny, too, because it was like Savage got up and you know how Savage would get up on the ropes and he would always like, just kind of do some type of, yeah, point
finger
or do some type of taunt or something like that. Well, JYD was out on the floor and Savage spits at him. So JYD spits back at him. And then Savage spits back at him. And then all of a sudden they're like Hawk and Loogies back and forth at each other.
Gross.
I was like, oh man, that's gross.
Girl, this is a 5-star match already. Okada and Omega have nothing on this match. They didn't spit once in that thing. These guys have done it 10 times already.
We've already talked about this where we went back and we discussed our very first house show, but I still remember Miss Elizabeth not looking like Miss Elizabeth. That was just weird to me. Like, she walked down the aisle with Macho Man, and I'm like, that doesn't look like Miss Elizabeth. Who's that?
Yeah, she didn't get all done up for the house shows, apparently.
Yeah, I guess not, dude.
I bet it was Mike McGurk wearing a wig.
Mike McGurk. Knowledge. Well, that wraps out our... That wraps up our new segment. Hopefully people stuck through it. Let us know what you think of it. The sorting hat or the Godfather's hat.
The Godfather's hat, dude. Don't go Harry Potter. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Sorry, I'm still in the Florida mode. Luckily without the flu.
Yes. Yes, but now it's exhaustion from like a wrestling event in our backyard.
Oh, dude, tell me about it. I was white, dude, last night. And then I had to get up early to go to the gym at like 4 a.m.
Ugh.
Yeah, I was beat by the end of today. So.
I'll be honest, I had today off of work because of Sasha. Once we got home, because after Sasha, we went and got some coffee at Starbucks, drove all the way back to Tracy's, about 1 hour and 20 minute drive, got gas, got lunch, came home. Dude, all of us just crashed out, took a nap. We were out.
All four of you?
Dude, yeah, all of us, done. I honestly, I didn't wake up until like probably about 5:30, and I went in to check on Alana. And she's got Netflix on, but she's completely passed out. She's done. Peyton said she fell asleep downstairs. Shannon and I crashed. Like, the whole family was just wiped out after this weekend. But totally worth it. What a great wrestling weekend.
It really was, man. I had so much fun this past weekend. You guys heard it at the beginning of the show, how much fun we just had.
Just a blast. So much fun.
You can pick up a Fully Posable Goes Retro t-shirt at whatamaneuver.net. Again, tank tops, summertime's now coming. It's warm out here today, dude.
Yeah, it was 90 in Tracy today. 91.
Oh, it was 81 out here in Alameda.
Brutal. And not a lot of people have AC out there either. Ugh.
Correct. We just basically live off the water AC.
Yep, exactly.
So pick up those tank tops for the summer. Pick up a white t-shirt that's breathable. You can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, at Fully Posable. Instagram, Fully Posable, WFP. You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts, FullyPosablePodcast.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts from. Again, those 5 stars help us out a lot, pushing the show up the charts. Also, just sharing this show. If you know somebody or if you're walking through Toys R Us and you see someone looking at the wrestling figure, say, hey, do you listen to Fully Posable? I did that the other day.
Random, like just walked up to somebody and asked if they listened to the show?
No, I started talking to him about wrestling figures.
Oh.
And I said, oh, there's this cool show. It's a podcast. It's called Fully Posable. All they do is talk about wrestling figures.
So you didn't claim that you were from the show? You were just like playing the role of a listener?
Correct.
Wow. Look at you going incognito.
Oh, dude, my acting skills were not on point. I'll tell you that much.
You're like undercover boss.
My acting skills are undercover crap, dude.
That's okay. That's okay. I'm sure they were not onto you at all.
Yes, exactly. You can email us any questions, comments, wish lists, audio. You can send us an audio. We'll put that on the show. Again, keep that to about 30 to 40 seconds. Get your Twitter handle in, name, where you're from, and your question, and Scott and I will answer it on the air at fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. Scott, I had fun this past weekend, dude.
Yeah, it was a blast. And, you know, I'm going to say, with as excited as you and I were about the Fully Posable Goes Retro t-shirt, you know, both of us were super, super excited about that design. I am that excited about our next shirt that's going to be coming out. And I'm not going to give anything away on it, but it's going to be along the same lines that our first shirt was. And I think people are really, really going to like it.
I think so, too. I hope everyone does like it. We still got to send it into the designer.
A ways out.
Yeah, we got to have him make it up. Then we send it over to whatamaneuver.net. And then from there, it gets put on whatamaneuver.net.
I mean, I would love to be like the Young Bucks and just have an idea and boom, you have a shirt like the next day. But we're going to give it a lot of thought and we're going to make it geared towards the people that we know are listening to this show to make it something quality that you guys would actually want to spend your money on and appreciate kind of the idea behind what's on the front of the shirt. I really think you guys are going to love it and I can't wait to see the finished product. Again, we're a ways out, but I'm super, super excited about it.
Yeah, I'm glad we were hanging out in line because we were able to get that shirt design kind of buckled down and we decided upon it.
The best part is that once we came to the final decision of what was going to be represented on the front of the shirt, both of us were just kind of like, that's it. Like, yeah. There wasn't a back and forth. Like, once we hit that particular thing, it was like, yes, that is it. Now we're just going to give them the money to get the design done, and that's that. So I'm super excited. I can't wait till the listeners get to see it.
I'm hoping within a month or two we'll have that design already.
Sounds about right.
And up on whatamaneuver.net.
Yep.
Scott, that rounds out episode 68. Anything else?
Happy toy hunting.
# Fig Life. Adios.